Father, I pray that you be with us as we get into the Word of God tonight, that our hearts would be filled and encouraged with the message of the Word. I need your help, always do. I always need your help, Father. I would ask it, I claim it by your strength to be able to explain and get the message out. And we do pray that you help us, Lord, our minds to be able to focus, help us to be able to hear it, receive it, and apply it where we live as individuals. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. The subject I haven't touched on specifically for just a little while, we've been going a lot of different subjects, talking about Jesus in the morning, and we've been through a lot of series on Ephesians and the Wednesday nights, etc. That's on the area of missions. Missions are very important for a church. And missionary giving, missionary going, surrendering to missions is the heart of the call of God in the church. God desires his word to get out, the message of the gospel to get out. And it takes laborers. We know there's messages we could preach on tonight that we would say, God, send forth laborers into the harvest field. As a matter of fact, Westside Baptist Church is a mission years ago. It started out, and on the west side of town, God's sending forth laborers. We still need laborers continually here to work on our bus routes, to work on our Sunday school classes, to help us in our door-to-door ministry, to help us in our Sunday school. And the local church is where God supplies those through. When we talk about missions, our mind is usually drawn to foreign missions or to missions that are outside of our little local church here. It's somehow reaching out away from us, getting the message out of the gospel. The outline I'm going to use tonight is not original to me. It's years ago, I picked this outline up from a missions conference that we have, and it's entitled The 7 P's of Missions, The 7 P's of a Missionary. I want to apply it two ways tonight, whether we talk about foreign missions or whether we're talking about getting out door to door or whether we're talking about a missionary effort here at Westside Baptist Church. This all applies to us. And we look at God unfolding the original missionary program, and we find the first missionary journey kicking off in the 13th chapter. The church is unfolding, God's revealing the church and showing it in the book of Acts. Acts is a book of transition, and now the church is sending forth its first missionary team. The first missionary team is Saul and Barnabas. It wasn't Paul yet, it was Saul and Barnabas that went out originally. And that's what we're going to look at tonight, as God is picking the very first missionaries that went out in the local church. So let's start with verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers. They're listed as Barnabas, Simeon, that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now, this is an interesting thing. We find our first P in verse 1. These people that God was going to send out to missions were busy in their local church already. And so we look at the prerequisite to being a missionary is that God wants us to be busy in our ministry. I can remember when I was about college and I was just beginning to understand some things. I can remember a missionary getting up and a preacher getting up and saying, you think you're called to be a missionary? You think you're called to be a pastor? You think you're called? And he went right down to the list. And he said, you can't wait to get out of Bible college to start? He said, you got the wrong mindset. Mission starts right now where you live. And it starts in the local church. God wants us to be busy right now. See, when I get older, or when I get a chance, or when I get an education, and we put some sort of stipulation about how missions or my call is going to start down the road, your call started the day you said, yes, God, I'll be working with you. Mission starts prerequisite is that you be busy for the Lord. Volunteering. We have a missionary that's over in Japan. I remember when Alan Winks was in the Marine Corps. He had lived in Michigan. His mom had moved to Texas and Houston. And she lived, I can remember, we were in Spring Branch. She lived way out on Friday. It seemed like a million miles out at that time. And he would come home to, he no longer would come home to Michigan. Now when he came home, he would come home to Houston. He didn't have any church or anything. But Alan was a little rebel. Alan was not saved. And in the Marine Corps, over in Okinawa, Alan accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And the church there got a hold of him, got him busy, started working the bus route, he started helping with Sunday school. And when he would come back on leave or whatever to see his mama here in Houston, he looked up our church, a good, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing church. He drove all the way down I-10, there on Blaylock, drove up to Hammerley, and he found our church, and he said, "Pastor Butts, I'm going to be home for 3 weeks. Put me to work." Now, he didn't know he's called to be a missionary. He just saved. And he said, "I got 3 weeks. My mom and I got a few things we're doing. But while I'm here, you just get it." I mean, he came down, he helped mow the lawn, he trimmed the bushes, he helped to paint this and nail that, and just worked his head off. He helped to work on the shampooing some carpet, and we made some visits together. He just got busy where he was. And I sort of got, I look forward. Every 6 months, Alan would get a chance to come home back to the States, and he'd come to Houston. Usually somehow get in touch with me ahead of time. And he'd say, "Make a list." A little surprise was to see how he called the missionaries. He already had a missionary sign. Dear Christian, are you busy in your local church? What are you doing for God? Do you look at this local church as your responsibility? Do you look around and say, "That needs to be painted, that needs to be mowed, that needs to be taught, this bus route, this ministry needs to be started, somebody needs to go to the jails, somebody needs to go to the nursing homes, somebody needs to help in the choir"? Do you look at your local church as a place of service? That's a mission. Mission starts way before the call with somebody who's busy before Jesus Christ. It's important all the days of your life, I don't care where you move, to find a good Bible reading church to park yourself. And I'm not talking about park yourself in the back row and hope they can warm me up when I go every Sunday. Park yourself and get busy. What can you say are my commitments to Christ? So it was to be in a church. Now participate in the church. So, "Well, Pastor, I don't know a whole lot." You know what you can do? You can do what David said. You can be a door greeter at the house of the Lord. Tonight I was out here just before choir, and I had a couple things I was taking care of. I was looking at schedules, and I was actually waiting to talk to Rebecca about Miss Miller about a couple things. So people came on, they said, "Are you a door greeter in the house of the Lord?" I said, "That's a worthy calling. Just to be an usher, to be a nursery worker, to be somebody that helps clean up the pews, somebody that's a volunteer at the vacuum. Those are all a missionary heart. What do you think missionaries do? Missionaries work with their heads up. They're out in the frontier. They're leaving the comfort zone, and they don't have a great support staff. Starts right there in that local church. The importance of the local church. All missions spring out of a local church. I know there may be somebody who would disagree with this, but I believe it's biblical. All missions need to have a report back to a local church and be connected to a local church. A mission should not be independent all by itself. It should spring forth from a local church. One of the prerequisite conditions is being connected to an evangelist, Bible reading, good Bible preaching, fundamental, and I would say balanced. Are you busy for God? Do you hope someday God will use you? Well, God wants to use you now. not all of them were called to be missionaries. The first one on the list was Barnabas in verse 1. The last one on the list is Saul. The ones in between were just as important. God reached into the pot of the local church. He picked out two firebrands. Two men were alive in the gospel. He took them and spread the gospel. Look at verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Here we find the priority of missions. It says, as they ministered to the Lord. So they were busy not only being active for the Lord, but now it says they ministered unto the Lord. They had a life where God was high on their priority list. A missionary can be a missionary. God is a priority. God's not going to call somebody to go to church every other Sunday when they feel like they go on vacation every other Sunday. God's going to find somebody that gets him. Oh, it's so easy to start slipping. We said it this morning. To start slipping out of church for this reason, that reason. And I've got business. I've got family that's calling me. I don't feel well. I want to watch TV. I've got a big sports program. Their priority was God first. We do what we want to do. You get it done. I said this a few weeks ago. We all manage to get to the table pretty regularly, amen? Nobody's reminding me, oh, Rich, you didn't eat this week. Somehow, I get it up there, and even though I'm busy, I find time to take that food and put it in my hands. And if we want to serve the Lord, we have to bring the law. We will find time to serve the Lord. And it says they minister unto the Lord. They receive this. Seeing souls saved and seeing people growing in Christ and seeing God's house and putting God first was very important to this group of men. We do what we want to do. Several years ago when I was in college, I guess that was a lot of years ago, 45 years ago, there was an evangelist that came through to speak. His name was Evangelist Don Camp. You would love Don Camp. Also was an evangelist. And he was talking about, they had a missions conference, a conference of serving the Lord and going, and he said he was praying that God would send forth laborers into the mission field. Quite a good sized church, about 400 people. And at the end of the conference, eight families surrendered to go to the mission. He said he couldn't believe it. He said it was a wonderful day. Eight families fled to the mission. I didn't think about it, he said. But they all got so serious that was like in February, March, and by that fall, September, seven of those eight families had already quit their jobs, packed up, and headed off to Bible college. So that sounds great until you realize who those seven families were. Three deacons, two bus captains. And he started going down through and he said, then he's thinking about it in August. He said, "Lord, can I hang on to him?" The Lord said, "You asked me to send forth laborers, and you." So God reached into that local church, and he took the men and women who were in the midst and transferred them. He said, "Well, I was worried." He said, "Man, our church was good. You know, these people were the mainstay." He said, God raised up like cream rising up in the mill. God just filled up the gaps. He said, every year we are sending young couples forward to be a missionary. If God was a missionary for the church, one of the things whatever God wants me to do. And to go off carefree, to get off to these good Bible colleges, to get their lives all opened up and prepared and trained for God to use them. Hopefully. As they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. Now, who's the Holy Ghost? I think I'm here by myself. Who is the Holy Ghost?
It's the Holy Spirit. It's God.
So our number three, there's a process. I could have just said a moment ago, wouldn't it be great if every year God peeled off another one? That would be maybe our desire. But it's God's business. God calls us. By the way, when you get a call from God, I hope you say yes. There's an old years ago sermon that was on a record player that I heard one time. It was called A Telephone Call from God. It was cute how this evangelist. And all of a sudden he has a phone ringer underneath his pulpit, and he goes, oh, and the answer goes, hello? God? Who's trying to play with me? I tell you what God does. You're sitting in a conference, you're sitting in a service, you're having your Bible devotions. I don't know how God or when exactly he's going to speak to you, but as God speaks to your heart, he speaks as we. Somebody that's busy for the Lord, let them go. Don't try to hang on. Don't say, you're too smart, you're too good looking, you're too whatever to go to the mission field. Grease the tracks. Recognize their call. Let them go. Don't try to hang on to them. I heard a story years ago of a young lady that was called to the mission field. She was a good Christian family. She went off to Bible college, and she went off to Bible college. She surrendered, and she wrote home a note to her folks. She said, Mom and Dad, God's called me to Africa, one of the nations in the heart of Africa. It's a burden in my heart. Mom, another one where a young lady was called to the mission field. She wrote home to her folks and said, I'm called to the mission field. Mother said, please don't go. She was one of those pretty girls on campus. Please don't go. You could be down in the heart of all those natives, and this doesn't seem right, but you would be there. She begged her not to go. She went over to prison. She said, I believe God wants me. But she said, please don't go. Dad said, your mother doesn't want you. I believe when God calls an individual, he probably talks pretty much to the whole church. It's an obvious call. God says, let them go. Don't hang on to them. Separate them. Let them go. Help them. Get off on the call. And often when we separate somebody, we call it a commission. Remember, think of Christy and Eric Moss when they came back. Seems like yesterday, doesn't it? Came to our church, and they've been out raising money. It came time for them to leave, and we had a great service, and preached, and laid hands on them, and got on the airplane, and they flew off. Separated, recognized the call of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a glorious, happy day, separating them under the work of God. So there's a process. God calls the Holy Spirit. Men recognize. We then separate them. Notice what else happens. It says, and when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. They prayed. We separate them, but we support them. Don't forget about them. There's another Christine called from our church. We're glad for both Christines going. We separate them and we don't forget about them. They prayed and they fasted. You know, we have another missionary the Lord's brought to our church just recently, the Popes. And they come back often enough that we sort of get provoked by seeing their face. Hey, there's Philip, there's Clint, there's Weston. Hey, I know you. And they're here for a few weeks and they're back. It sure doesn't take very many weeks and all of a sudden you say, oh yeah, Popes. They're in Thailand. It's an amazing support. I'm not just talking about the things. Standing with our prayers, with our earnestness before God, and with our gifts. To separate them doesn't mean to let go of them and never think about them again. It means to stand behind them and pray for them. So there was a commissioning. And there was a spiritual involvement in their ministry. Then it says, they sent them forth. And I say, they had a local commission. So they sent them forth. So there's a process. There's a prerequisite. I'm busy in my local church. I have a priority. I'm doing God's work way up here. It's very important to me. There's a process. The Holy Ghost calls. Men recognize it. We separate them. We pray and stand behind them. And we commission them to the work of God. And we send them forth. That word sent forth, by the way, is a word that's like this. To send them out. To send them out. Look at verse 5. Verse 4. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed from Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John, we know it was John Mark, to their minister. So, we find here our fourth theme. What was the purpose of the mission? When they were sent forth, they preached. In our day and age, there are a lot of things. I love Neighborhood Bible. Neighborhood Bible Time is one of our mission projects in our local church. Wasn't it sweet this morning to see the young lady come up? When did you have your second birthday? This summer in Neighborhood Bible Time. I want to go, woo! Thanks for the advertisement. That's what it's about. Seeing people say, and then discipling them, growing them, and hopefully, wouldn't it be neat someday she went out from our church? Wouldn't that be just the ultimate neat thing? God were to call and separate her to the Lord? Purpose, mission, is to take care of them. It's important to build buildings. It's important sometimes to need water, they need to know how to plant crops, and sometimes these are roads that we need to go down to open up the door so the gospel can be preached. But missions is not about American license. It's not about being nice and feeding people. It's not about fighting their battles and their wars. It's not about medical, doing all their medical. Those things are involved. They preach the word of God. The word of God is the center of it. And by the way, isn't that what the center of a good Bible-preaching church is? The center of a good church is the preaching message. What's the center of that preaching message? The gospel. When the gospel is blunted, when you lose that evangelistic point, that sharp edge that pierces into the soul of the unsaved, a church has just begun to live in God. And missions is about leading Jesus. So they have a purpose. The purpose of the missionary, the purpose of missions is the gospel. Praise God for all the projects that are out there. But that is not one of the P's. They set him forth through a project. They set him forth with the purpose of preaching the word. Look at verse 6. And when they had gone through the island, unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. That sounds pretty good so far, doesn't it? They got the mission field. They raised up enough interest that the deputy of the island said, hey, come and talk to me. I'm interested. You piqued my interest. Verse 8. But Elymaeus, the sorcerer, over here he's called Bar-Jesus in verse 6, for so is his name by interpretation. Notice that next thing. What did he do? He withstood. This is our next one. Missionaries are often he withstood them. The word withstood there means to stand against them, like face-to-face resistance. Seeking, it says here, to turn away the deputy from the faith. So there was a spiritual persecution, a war. Mission is a battle. Our first missionary was a missionary in Japan, the time wars, and then the Japan Center. Way over in the Far East, too. Our first missionary actually came home from the field. His marriage clubs, and they said, you won't be able to do it because the resistance will be a resistance you've never felt in your life before. There is such strong demon oppression. I've heard a lot of missionaries talk about it on these front mission lines, that when they went to do the work, they'd get up in the morning, and there's 2 or 3 hours of work, they'd be so exhausted that they had to lay down for 4 hours, and then get up again, and lay down and sleep 11 to 12 hour nights. They could do that for 1 week, and be totally exhausted, go out and sleep again. They said, ah, that isn't true. They said, until you've experienced that kind of opposition, you can't act. It's called persecution and opposition. Where Satan has had a free hand, do you think he's going to let go? You notice what the opposition was. Go back to verse 6. It was a sorcerer masquerading like he was a spiritual man, and he had cuddled up next to this leader and probably done some soothsaying or magic or something that had got his confidence. Who knows what he had done? And when he perceived that Barnabas and Saul were making an inroad, man, he really resisted this. He put his whole effort into stopping them. And you read about this in verse 9. Then Paul, who also is called, Saul is called Paul, this is where Paul is now called Saul, Saul's called Paul, was filled with the Holy Ghost. Saul set his eyes on the Sergius, Bar Jesus. And he said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not see the sun for a season. And immediately there fell from him on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Do you get the idea what's going on here? Not only is there persecution, but Saul is rising to the occasion, and here's our next P. He has the power of God behind him. God is empowering this young man, Saul, who we now know as Paul, to be doing things that he never imagined he could. So when we talk about missions, maybe God's going to call you for God to empower you to stand up and to go to another country, to people that are entrenched in demonism and every kind of false religion, and they're steeped and deeply rooted, for you to be able to stand against that too. We don't do the missionary work in our own personal power. We do it in the power of the Holy Ghost. You notice in verse 9, then Saul was filled with the Holy Ghost. We were taking a different outline. He was first called, and then he was filled. He was called of the Holy Ghost. He was sent out of the Holy Ghost, and now he's filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Acts 1:8 is still for 2018, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is given. It's that power. There's a song that used to be in all the hymn books. The Pentecostal power. Lord, send the old time power. The Pentecostal power. That souls may be converted. And thy work may be, thy name may be glorified. This is the power of God. It takes men and it takes women that will take the call of God and they'll step forward. What did this call, this power do? First of all, it was miraculous. This guy was made so he couldn't see. It was miraculous power. And I tell you, there have been times in my ministry that I've sensed the power of God like that. And to me, it was almost scary to feel God working. It was miraculous power. It was confident power. He stood up and he said,
"Oh, thou one that's from the devil."
Oh, remember, you're on their territory. You could be thrown in jail. You could disappear. You could be bumped on the head. Nobody ever even know where you went. Stand up and talk like that. "Oh, thou one of the devil." It was confident. It was bold power. He said, "Thou," and he talked with power, and he didn't apologize. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, there's a boldness. And you know what Paul prayed for all? You find it in the book of Acts. "Pray that after I have been persecuted, after I've been thrown in jail, after I've gone through a battle, that I won't lose my boldness." Shut our mouths and not be bold in the proclamation. One of the things I've seen in the news the last year or two has been in the military, where there used to be a confidence in some of these men to have freedom to be able to speak up for Christ. Now when they're speaking up for Christ, they get demoted. That's sad, isn't it? Amen? Our country, be bold in the power of the Holy Ghost and be confident for God to do the miraculous and see people born again. This is that power of the Holy Ghost. And you notice it says here that immediately God worked. That's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost isn't someone that when he works, it's like bullets and grabs and drives. Immediately, this man, he is blinded. God gave a great power, and then he gave him their discernment. Look at the power of the Holy Ghost enabling a man to do the work of God. Maybe God will call you to be a missionary someday. And I say, God will fill you with his Holy Spirit to do a work that you can't imagine that you'd ever be a part of. Look at verse 12. We see the last P that we have in our seven. Then the deputy, that's the guy who's in charge of the island, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Here we see the productivity. It produced a change in life. When a missionary goes forth and obeys God, there's a product. People give. There's fruit. Out their own missionaries. There's fruit. What was the fruit like here? The deputy, when he saw what was done, the deputy could see the power of God. He could see the miraculous happening. He saw this Bar Jesus. He saw this Elimaeus that was so filled, it seemed, with this demonic power, humbled by the real God. He saw that. He said, "Whoa, these people are different. The power of God." And then it says, he was astonished. He was astonished, what? At their doctrine. These people, when they speak the word of God with an authority and a confidence. You know, people, we go forward, we need to be able to proclaim the gospel with confidence. That our doctrine is from God. It says, I've said this from the pulpit over the years. I don't care how many times I see somebody walk out and get saved, say yes when I'm asking to get saved. I don't care how many times I wife and I, we had our first child, her gynecologist was at our church. He was a doctor in our church. His name was Dr. Kim. He was Korean. And I remember as we went and saw him, he said, "Oh, Mr. Butts, I'm so excited. You're going to have a baby. Oh, it's great." Well, maybe he was the father. I don't know. He was so excited about this baby being born in our midst. His son, John, was a to get some sleep. We got down the hospital. Boy, that baby was born at about 8:45. I can remember when little Richard came out. Baby came out. He caught that baby. He put it on her stomach. He put the little thing down there on the umbilical cord. It's all going there. We're excited. And I look over here, and here's Dr. Kim. "It's a boy! It's a boy! It's a boy!" I thought, haven't you ever seen a baby born? That's the way I feel every time I see things. It's okay. You want to see it. See our church get a brand new energy like it hasn't had in a while. Start seeing people get out of visitation. We work our mission field and they start walking the aisle. That'll do more than all the entertainment and all the programs you can take out of a box and all the different people that you can do is to see people change power. Obey God and go into the hit and against the persecution, and they have the boldness of God, and they start to produce. And there's people say, "Lord, we love those things." Three people say, "Why?" Because somebody obeyed. Whether it's the local church, whether it's a bus route, whether it's a Sunday school teacher, whether it's over in Africa, India or Asia or wherever you want to go, it's always a wonderful thing to see the power of God. There's actually one more P, but it's not my mission. It's verse 13. Look at 13:13. It's sort of a strange verse, isn't it? If you believe in bad luck, that would be it, wouldn't it? 13:13. Now when Paul and his company, Luzer from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, a bunch of big words, isn't it? And John Mark, this is where he got a bad reputation, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Here we see the peril. Back and see something. separate unto Barnabas and Saul, separate me, separate them to me, to go do the work. Whose name is missing on that board? Look at verse 5 again. And they had also John. I have read a lot of people. You can have your own opinion about this. I personally think John is all on the mission. Just not going to be a mission. I think the bruising and the scary, the turning inside out, John Mark because he wasn't for Jesus. God called him. He wasn't for the Spirit. It's okay. When I was in Bible college, Dr. Bob Jones Jr. He had a statement that he would make sometimes ignorantly. He said, if you believe anything other than preach the gospel, you would be happy if you would take the gospel. I watched that because God's called you to take the gospel. Pastor, I love South. Missionaries coming here and saying, help us! They can't call you. Stop. You need your God. The peril is you in the local church on that deacon board there. As our church to collect a whole. Amen. We ought to have a missions program. The local church is the local. What do you accomplish? Are you giving? Are you praying? Are you surrendering? Yeah. I personally believe that a person ought to surrender to the possibility of missions program. God calls you. Why? He doesn't call everybody. He separates some to the local church and some to the foreign field. Are you participating in the mission? It's not how perfect is our church. What is your name? What is your commitment? Sacrificial? Are you teaching your children? God said, "We need to go," and he doesn't let go of it. He keeps. Somebody was sent to us. I thank you for a neighbor that was sent to me. Lord, I thank you for this church that you sent on this side of town to reach out to this local Jerusalem. I thank you for our missionaries that you've allowed us to partner with. I thank you for the ones called out of our church so far in these last 30-some years. Oh, Lord, would you use us in your evangelistic mission? Receiving